We want to give honor to God and say good morning to everyone. I want to again thank you for another opportunity to come and to share something from the Word. I don't know about you, but I don't know whether y'all, many of y'all watch much TV or any movies or not, but Forrest Gump, his mother used to tell him all the time, say, son, say, life is like a box of chocolates. You never know what you're going to get. And I found that to be true when it comes to speakers. I mean, you know what you got at church every week, but when you got somebody coming in as a guest, you never know what you're going to get. Sometimes that can be good. And I can tell you from experience, Leon, sometimes that can be bad. But the Lord is good. But the Lord is good anyway. And I thank you so much for for allowing me to come and just to share. So much is happening, ladies and gentlemen, in this world. And I hope you up to date, and I want to commend you and recommend to you that you do not read the New York Times and World News Tonight as much as you need to read your Bible, because the Bible tells us exactly what's happening in the world today. The Bible is the most up-to-date journal, ladies and gentlemen, on current events that you can ever have. So let us bow our heads for a word of prayer before we get started. Father in heaven, today, as we come, we want to say today, everything that you want said. And today also, if there's anything you don't want said, we pray that we won't say it. So, but as we come today, we pray and ask you that you would make this word real, that you'd help us to see how serious life and death is, and how every thought and every action has not only consequences in this life, but in the life to come. Please bless us to this end, and we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. According to the bulletin, our subject for today is, how do you think? I've had a lot of people to come to me and confess what they have done. Brother Trywell, you know, I've done this. But I have never had a person to come to tell me, Brother Trywell, this is how I think. This is what I thought. So today I want to ask you, how do you think? Our scripture reading for this morning, ladies and gentlemen, came from the book of Genesis, chapter 5, and is very interesting. If you read those verses, the very last verse says something very interesting. Genesis chapter, did I say Genesis 5 or Genesis 6? Well, Genesis chapter 6, where our scripture reading came from this morning. Verse 5 says something very interesting. Let's notice what it says. And God saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. Now, ladies and gentlemen, it's very interesting to know that the Bible does not say everybody that was living during the antediluvian time, it doesn't say that everybody there did bad actions and did bad acts. The Bible says that a great majority of the people, their problem was that they thought bad. People often ask me, what do I have to do in order to go to the Shout H place? And I tell them, frankly, you don't have to do anything. You can just think wrong and be lost. And so, ladies and gentlemen, when we're thinking about temptation and when we're thinking about life and we're thinking about overcoming, ladies and gentlemen, we need to focus more on what we think rather than on what we do. Because, ladies and gentlemen, from what I gather from the Bible, if we thought right, we would act right and do right. You see, when a person comes to me and tell me, well, Brother Tyler, I did this, it's too late for you to come to me. You've already done it. Why not come when you begin to think? When you begin to think wrong, that is the time to start thinking. Because you're getting off in the thought processes. And so I'm asking you today, how do you think? Well, let me make sure everybody's with me. So let me do this before I go any further. The question is, how do you think? One day I was on the job, and my cell phone rang, and I answered it, and there was a lady on the other end. Now, I'm not a voice expert or none of that kind of stuff, but I could tell that the lady on the other end of the line was Caucasian. I could tell that. And I already told you I'm not a voice expert, right? But this lady called me, and I answered the phone. I said, hello. She said, she was very straight to the point. She says, oh, by the way, I'm in construction. I do concrete work, okay? So the lady called me, and she said, are you a concrete finisher? I said, yes, ma'am. I'm a concrete finisher. And then she stumped me. She got me, bro. She got me. The next question, she said, are you black? Yeah. I know how to handle calls like this. Now, my subject today is, how do you think? Where is your mind going with that conversation? How do you think? That's what I want to know. Are we quick to judge something when we don't have all the information? Do our thoughts just take off running time we hear something or we see something that seems to be out of order? How do you think? You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about your everyday life. I'm talking about as you sit in this church, as you look at me, what do you think? As I look at you, what do I think? When you leave here and you're going home and somebody pull out in front of you, how do you think? See, this is what we need to be focusing on. How do we think? Now, I could have went some serious places with that conversation and that question. But how would you finish it in your mind, brother? How would you finish that in your mind, sister, that happened to you? Let me finish the story. After she asked me, was I black? I said, yes, I'm black. You know what she said then? She said, well, oh, good. Because, you see, I had a black man to come do some work for me. And he was a nice dresser, and she said he was very handsome. I said, yes, sis, you got the right one. But ladies and gentlemen, I jumped to conclusion in my thought processes. This racist woman gonna call me and ask me, am I black? When racism had nothing to do with her conversation or her question. How do you think? That's the question for today. How do you think? Let's look at a Bible text or two. Let's turn to. Let's turn to Matthew chapter 15. Let's go there first. Let's notice something about Matthew chapter 15. Jesus was talking, and he's talking about what the real problem with us. And I'm not going to read all the text. I'm just going to read the text that gives us what we want to hear and what we want to hear talking about. Matthew chapter 15, and we want to go to verse 18. And here Jesus is having a conversation. Jesus is letting the people know what defiles a person. What makes a person defile? What causes a person to sin? I need to start at verse 17. And Jesus said, "Do you yet understand that whatsoever anything that the mouth goeth into the belly and is cast out into the draught, but those things which proceed out of the mouth come forth from the heart, and these defile the man." Notice his list. "For out of the heart proceedeth what? Evil thoughts." And then what? Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible is very plain. The Bible is very specific here. It says, before you can commit adultery, you have to think adultery. Before you steal, you have to think stealing. Before you lie, you have to think a lie. I know you want a little bit of more biblical evidence. Let's turn over to the book of James. Turn over to the book of James, the first chapter. And let us notice something very interesting. The book of James, chapter 1. Let's read verse 13 and 14. And we can throw 15 in there too. All the Bible is good. James chapter 1, verses 13, 14, and 15. Let's know what the Bible says. The Bible says this. "Let no man say when he is tempted, I am tempted of God. For God cannot be tempted with evil, neither tempted he any man. But every man is tempted when he is drawn away of his own lust and enticed. Then when lust has conceived, bringeth forth sin. And when sin has conceived, it bringeth forth death." Now, ladies and gentlemen, here again, Jesus, the Bible gives us the process of how we sin. The Bible says, lust comes, lust, the thoughts, the desires come. And the Bible says, then when the desire comes, then the action comes. We sin. And then the Bible says, number three, when we sin, then we get death. So the Bible says that is the process. We think it, then we do it, and then we die. That is the process, ladies and gentlemen. So today I ask you again, how do you think? How do you think? You see, now let's go back and let's just do a comparison here. Let's turn back to Proverbs chapter 12 and verse 5 and let us notice something. Because I say I am a Christian and you say you are a Christian. But let us notice what Proverbs 12 and verse 5 says. Proverbs 12, verse 5, the Bible says, "The thoughts of the righteous are what? Right." And so, ladies and gentlemen, when I'm sitting down and when I go home and when I get ready to go to sleep at night, we always say we need to confess our sins to God when I get on my knees. But you know, my prayer list of sins that if I have committed that day, they are always about things that I've done. Never about why I thought it, and why I thought it is why I did it. Ladies and gentlemen, it's time for us to back up. It's time for us to back up and let's start what the folks said. The old folk used to tell me, "Say, son, you got to nip it in the bud." I have cut off many a tree at the stump, and guess what? It grew right back. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what you and I need to focus on, and what we need to be really careful about. See, we're careful about what we do. But we need to be more careful about how we think.
You see, because when I think it, it's when I'm going to do it. And even if I don't do it according to the Bible, I'm still messed up because I'm still sinning. Jesus said the evil thought. So ladies and gentlemen, you don't have to do anything not to go to heaven. You just think evil. Because the Bible says many other people in the time of the flood, they were not doing things, but they always was thinking evil. 24/7 thinking evil. So ladies and gentlemen, when today when we're talking, I want you to take a look at yourself as I look at myself. You see, this is not a judgmental message. This is a message, but we need to look at ourselves and ask ourselves the question, how do I think? Because that's going to determine where you go, what you do, how you carry yourself, how you raise your children, who you witness to, and how you handle cell phone conversations and stuff that come to your laptop that you didn't even ask for, but it shows up. How you think is going to determine whether you click on or whether you erase. Ladies and gentlemen, this is an all-important thing. We need to get it together on how we think. We are here. Everybody focus on what I done. No, back up. If we think right, we're going to do right. You know, I got such a blessing out of the brother's testimony this morning about when the cops stopped him on the interstate and searched his car for an hour and 20 minutes or so, and he was sitting there with no evil thoughts at all. People, this is what we're talking about. We're talking about your thoughts. And I've had that happen to me too. But ladies and gentlemen, I'm talking about everyday stuff. I'm not talking about something theological, something you can't understand. I'm talking about as you walk in the mall, as you talking to your friends or your loved ones or people that you meet, your people that you work with on the job. I'm talking about every day. I'm talking about you right here, right now. The question that I want you to ask yourself, as I do, how do you think, man? Let's turn to Proverbs. You know, and I'm going to tell you something. I had to, you know how we don't understand God all the time? You know, I had to disagree with God. And y'all know whenever you disagree with God, you always know who's wrong, right? Okay. All right, Proverbs 23, verse 7. Let's read something very interesting there. Proverbs 23, verse 7. And I had to disagree with God on this because I couldn't really, God got too deep for me. Listen to what he says. He says, this is referring to this individual. It says, for as he thinketh in his heart, so is he. Now, I just couldn't get that around my brain, God. How you going to say if I think something, that's what I am? But God said that is true. God says if you think it, somebody got in a, y'all know how Sabbath school, you get into a religious debate sometimes? The question was asked in Sabbath school class one day, how many times do you have to steal, get this now, how many times do you have to steal to be a thief? Isn't that a very interesting subject to bring up in Sabbath school? And oh, the theological ramifications and oh, all of that goes into that question. And then they brought it back to somebody else who was funny saying, well, how many times do you need to lie to be a liar? How many times do you have to commit adultery to be an adulterer? The Bible says, ladies and gentlemen, that I don't have to do it none. I just have to think it. All I got to do is think it. So how do you think? Don't parade in front of me or God your list of things you didn't do. I'm more interested in how you think. Because before you ever get to your list, you was already guilty of everything on your list. before you ever get to it. You're already guilty. And so the Bible says, as you think in your heart, you know, I really want to say something to her. Oh boy, she's so gorgeous. But I never do. I really want to. Written in the Lamb's Book of Life by my name, I did it. And I only thought it and wanted it. That's just too deep for me. And so the Bible says, as we think in our hearts, so are we. The Bible says there's a process, there's the thoughts, then there's the sin, and then there is death. So ladies and gentlemen, when you leave here today and when I leave here today, we need to contemplate and we need to really pray about this thing with God. And we're going to do it before we leave here. We're really going to say, God, please help me to back up and to get this thing straight. I need to be right with you in my thought processes before I start being worried about my actions, because my actions normally follow my thought processes. What do you think, brother? That's the question. Let me tell you nothing. Let me tell you something else. Okay, I'll tell you something else. I got a good friend of mine. He's single, young man. But he has a strange job. He's an undertaker. But we still friends. I just make sure I don't pass out around him, you know. So he might mistake me for dead and try to embalm me and everything right there on site. So, but anyway, ladies and gentlemen, my friend was working one night. And one night, you know, at night they keep the funeral home open to a certain time. People come in and visit, see bottles, all that kind of stuff. So one night, my friend, single young man, was in the funeral home. It was his turn to work second shift, so he was working second shift in a funeral home. And lo and behold, somebody come up to the funeral home pushing a baby carriage. Young lady pushed the baby carriage, came on inside the funeral home, and said, I want to see so-and-so. And they went back and got my good friend and brought him out front. And you know how undertakers are. They get, you know, every time they see it, they always folding their hands or doing something. They got their real creepy smile. You know, how you doing? Can I have your body when you pass? You know, they got that real creepy looking smile. Anyway, he throw that smile on the young lady. Hey, how you doing? And she, you know, she said hi, and she reached into the baby carriage. And she handed my friend this baby. You in the back, brother. I'm not putting you on the spot. I'm just pointing. How are you finishing that story in your mind? Sister Howe, how are you finishing that story? Sister Clayton? Bob? How do you think? Can you tell me what's happening in this story? Do you know what the outcome was of this story, sister? How do you think is why I want you to... See, this is what I want you to do. I want you to do what I'm asking you to do. When you look at a situation, when you got so much information, even if you got all the information, sometimes, ladies and gentlemen, we think wrong. And we think evil. Now, sometimes you can think and be right. But ladies and gentlemen, the question is, where does your mind first go? Now, I know the devil can throw thoughts at me and temptations at me, but my thing is, when I recognize it, what do I do with it? Do I banish it or do I hold on to it? And so, ladies and gentlemen, how are you finishing this story? How do you think is what I want you to know, what I want you to get. How do you think? Well, let me finish the story for you. A young lady reached in the crib, pulled out the baby, handed it to my friend. And I don't know how many of y'all was in here thinking, that boy done messed up. He got a baby out of wedlock. The lady handed my friend the baby and said, here, my baby is dead. I do not have the money to bury it. Will you please take care of it for me? How do you think? Are you always
jumping and making evil conclusions.
Do you? Do you? Oh, man, this... Oh! And ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has so much to say about thoughts. Oh! Let's turn. Let me share something, one real crazy one, which before my time runs out. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 and verse 12. And I had a, 1 Corinthians 12. I want to share this one with you before I go. 1 Corinthians 12. 1 Corinthians 10, verse 12. Listen to what the Bible says here. The Bible has so much, ladies and gentlemen. Sometimes you get time to just study what the Bible says. The Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 12, the Bible says, wherefore let him that thinketh he stand take heed lest he fall. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible says it's a dangerous thing for me and you to go around here talking about what we done overcome and what we done got the victory of. The Bible said that kind of stuff, we shouldn't even be thinking that way. It's dangerous. One Bible writer I read, you may have read that it's the same Bible writer known as the Spirit of Prophecy, the servant of the Lord, says, this particular Bible writer said this. She said that when we say those kind of things out loud, she said, we tempt the devil. In other words, we tell the devil, I done overcome that, I done got the victory over that, and ain't nothing you can do about it. We personally challenge him, and guess what? Guess when we do that, I had a good friend of mine, dynamite speaker, dynamite man in the church, dynamite everything. One day we was at church and we were having a cleanup day, and we was leaving the church, and we and him were leaving at the same time, and he drove off, and there was a young lady walking down the street, and the young lady thumbed him down, and he gave her a ride. And when he came back the next day, me and him was talking, and I said, "Well, you gave that young lady a ride?" He said, "Yeah, I gave a young lady a ride." Here we go. Here go my messed up brain, folks. I asked him, "You ain't do nothing to that young girl, did you?" He said, "No." He said, I've been, brother, got the victory over that kind of stuff. The Bible says, don't even think that way, that you can't fall, that you're invincible. And ladies and gentlemen, I can't tell you the many times I've been wanting to stop by somebody's house or go somewhere, and I've said to myself as I was walking up there, I done overcome that. The Bible says don't think that foolishness. And by the way, this very friend of mine, a few years later, after he made that statement, lost his ministry, ruined his family. And I personally know, ladies and gentlemen, souls who left the church because they loved him more than they loved Jesus. The Bible says, don't think like that, that you can't fall, that you are invincible in a certain area in your life. God said, don't even think that way. But is that how you think? Oh, let me read it up. Ladies and gentlemen, I can't have it, folks. How do you think? Let me tell y'all another. Can I tell y'all another story? Can I tell another story? I can tell another story. I just want y'all to get it. I was walking at the track one day, sis. I was walking at the track, minding my own business. And I'm going around the track. I like to power walk. And I power walk around the track, zoom, zoom. I'm passing a lot of people. And so I walk around the track, and I come around this curve. And I come around the curve, I saw this lady bending over, playing with her legs, and she kept looking back at me. And so when I came around the track, right before I got to her, she started talking to me. She said, "Hey, I don't know what's wrong with my legs." She said, "I've been walking, and I don't know what's wrong with my legs." And I said, "Well, I don't need either, I said a few words to her, but as I was walking away, she was still talking to me. She said, "Well, can you know what might be wrong with my legs?" "Lady, I look like a doctor to you. What's going on?" "Yeah." But I went back and started talking to the lady.
Can y'all imagine what happened next? How do you think? What do you think? Have you passed judgment on me yet? Have you condemned her yet? Have you put us in situations that may not be true? How do you think? It's what I want to know. How do you think? But anyway, the lady was having a rough time in her family. She was big. She had lost a lot of weight. And in her efforts to try to be successful, she was walking. And she had injured her legs. She had them wrapped up. And so all she wanted was a shoulder to cry on. And so she cried on my shoulder for about an hour. Not literally now. That would have been something, if my wife would have rolled by and she was there laying her head on my shoulder. I mean, we walked around the track and we talked for an hour. And she just wanted somebody to listen. And so, ladies and gentlemen, what I'm talking about today is your everyday life. How do you think? Because the Bible says, if I think all Caucasian people are racist, guess what? To me, all Caucasian people are racist. If you think all blacks are lazy and are criminals, guess what? To you, all blacks are lazy and criminals. If you think all men are no good and just rotten to the core, guess what? To you, that's what they are. But the Bible says those thoughts are evil. And so, ladies and gentlemen, before I sit down, I want to give you three things the Bible says we can do to help us with our thoughts. And then I'm going to sit down. First of all, let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 18. We're all very familiar with this text, but you can write it down or we can read it together. Three things that the Bible says we can do to help with our thoughts, our thought processes. 2 Corinthians, man, where you at? 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 18. And the Bible says that, it says, if I can get there, 2 Corinthians 3:18, the Bible says, "For we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory in glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Ladies and gentlemen, this particular text in Essex says that the Bible says that by beholding, ladies and gentlemen, we become changed. Ladies and gentlemen, we are what we look at. We are what we listen to. Ladies and gentlemen, Bible said by beholding we become changed. And ladies and gentlemen, by the way, I can't tell you the many times we've had the argument in Sabbath school class where people stand there and say, me watching filth on TV does not affect me. Ladies and gentlemen, science has proven that is not the case. You are affected by everything you set your eyes on. This is why things are addictive. That's how it gets to be addictive. That's the process. So the Bible says, by beholding, we become changed. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want to be like... Ladies and gentlemen, I used to be amazed at all the young people walking around with one white glove on. Y'all know who they want to be like? Michael Jackson. One white glove on. And so, ladies and gentlemen, if you don't want to be a certain way, if you don't want to be like somebody, if you want to be a certain way, if you don't want to be like that person, don't look at that person or don't look at that particular thing. The Bible says that we are changed by beholding. Number two. So watch what you look at. Number two. Let's go to Psalms 101 verse 3. Psalms 101 verse 3. Psalms 101 verse 3. And I got just a couple of minutes and we'll be done. Psalm 101 and verse 3. The Bible writer says, I will set no wicked thing before my eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, here it is. The Bible says, I will not set no wicked thing before my eyes. Ladies and gentlemen, it doesn't matter if you're looking at wicked on your new smartphone. It doesn't matter if you're looking at it on your computer. It doesn't matter if you're looking at it on your TV. The Bible says if you want to control your thoughts, don't set wicked things before your eyes. And that includes people. Our last one comes from let's go to Philippians. Let's go to Philippians. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. We'll close with this one. Philippians chapter 2, verse 5. The Bible says something very interesting here. It says, let this what? Mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today, this is what you and I need. Because, ladies and gentlemen, Jesus, the Bible says in Hebrew that Jesus was tempted in all points like as me and you are. The same kind of situation me and you face in life when we're dealing with hard-headed people, evil people, crooked people, wicked people. When we're dealing with all those people, the Bible says Jesus came against all that stuff, but he never sinned. He never thought evil. And so, ladies and gentlemen, today, if you and I want to make heaven our home, we've got to ask ourselves the question. And we've got to always be mindful of, how am I thinking? Let's ask God to help us to get it together in our thoughts before we ever do the action. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Father in heaven today, we know that we need to think like you. And so today as we come, we thank you so much today for your word and for all that it says, and so much it says, Lord, that we didn't even talk about. But we believe today that you gave us enough to think about today, to ask ourselves some serious questions and to help us to nip sin in the bud. Let's don't let it get started. Sometimes sin is like a little snowball, Lord. When we start it out small, the longer it rolls, Lord, it gets bigger and bigger. So help us to treat sin like that, Lord. Let's cut us off. Let's nip it at the bud, as the old folk used to say. Let's stop it before we ever get started, Lord, and that comes in our thought processes. But there are things that we can do. We cannot set evil before our eyes. We can watch our company and our associates. We can watch the things that we hear, the conversation that we have. When we see a conversation going in the wrong way, Lord, let us by the grace of God, change it. Or distance ourselves from that particular conversation. We pray, God, on an everyday basis as we go throughout the day, help us to be mindful of how we are thinking. Because you said, God, that as a person thinks in his heart, so is he. We praying today for the mind of Christ. Please bless us to this end, and we'll give you the glory, the honor, and the praise. And we thank you for it in Jesus' name. Amen.